Let us be seated as we pray. Lord God, we have come to spend this day with you, to set apart this time, to get to know you better. And in you, we are fully known and fully loved. And Lord, the cry of our heart is for you to come and to make all things new. And we thank you that the day is coming soon. May we watch the skies with much expectation. You are a glorious King, O God, and we praise you all of our days. Lord, we thank you for your great compassion and for your love that never fails. And Lord, this day we come and we pray for all of our schools in this area. We pray for every child and every teacher, every staff member, every administrator, Lord God. We lift them up to you and ask you to send your love and your faithfulness to protect them. We thank you, O God, that you know the plans that you have for them, plans to prosper them and not to harm them, and plans to give them hope and a future. And Lord, we stand on the truth of your word for our schools, Father, and we ask for your mighty presence to be with them in all that they do. We ask for the power of your presence to infuse every classroom, in every playground, in every office space, for the glory of your name. Lord God, this day it is also our great joy to pray for Parkview Christian Church. We are so grateful for these brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord, as they are worshiping you this day, we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would touch every heart and renew every mind in you. Lord, would you release healing and hope anew in their midst? And would you fill them to overflowing with your Holy Spirit in equipping them for all that you call them to? May their dreams be your dreams for them. And may they walk in courage to fulfill them in you. We give you praise and honor and glory for all that you do in your bride. And Lord, mostly we thank you for your Son, who lived and died and lives again for each of us. We thank you, Jesus, for being such a great teacher and for your patience with us. And we thank you for bringing us to the Father and for teaching us how to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, it's great to see all of you here this morning. Thank you so much for joining us in worship. I wonder who has been to the state fair? Anybody that's been to the state fair? Okay, I've always told folks there's two kinds of Sedalians. There's Sedalians who work the state fair and people who get out of town when the state fair comes. So, so if you've been to the state fair, if you've ever gone to a fair, what is your favorite food to eat there? On the count of three, I want you to holler out your favorite food to eat at a state fair. You ready? One, two, three. Me too. I love that. I love it. Well, okay, it has really truly been a wonderful fair, and there's been great weather overall throughout our summertime, I believe. But school is fast approaching, and with that comes the fall, and with that, a change of seasons. And I think it's a good reminder of the constancy of God and the ever-changing lives that we lead. Now, as you know, I was born in the state capital, Branson, Missouri, and among other critters that we had down there were lots of box turtles. You know, these creatures who are trying to get out of the way before you and I come up and down the highway and smash them. So here is a special picture of a box turtle. Isn't that great? So we've added some captions. I'd like for you to think about what you would believe to be the best caption. So here's a first caption. What a view! That's a good one, isn't it? Here's a second one. Takes off-roading to a new level. Yep. How about this one? Try this, you wascally wabbit. I worked on that one all weekend. And then he didn't get there on his own. Yeah. And I'm going to go with that one for this weekend. We're going with he didn't get here on his own. And we've started this series called The Faith We Sing, focusing on the words of an old hymn, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And I've lost my singer. So, okay, it is said that we sing our theology. Oh, no, I didn't. There he is. It is said that we sing our theology, and I believe that to be true. And so the hymn was penned in 1758 by Robert Robinson, and as we did last week, we're going to sing a verse, and actually, we're going to focus on the second verse, so we'll warm up with the first verse and then pay particular close attention to the second verse and its words. But for those who are not singers, I'm going to invite you to be the rhythm section today, and I want you to do it along this beat. Come thou fount, oh, come thou fount. Okay, so now do not hit the person in front of you, but if you want to use a chair next to you, knock yourselves out. Okay, so let's get this rhythm going. Here we go. Come thou fount, oh, come thou fount, oh. Okay, well, the singers.
Come thou fount of every blessing, let my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
Now listen to this one. Here I
raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood.
Oh, you did a great, great job. That is beautiful singing. And in just a moment, we're going to see how hopefully this relates to our living. But first, let's pray together. God, for the beauty of this moment, thank you. Thank you for our children, for parents, for youth, adults, leaders. Thank you for voices lifted in praise. Thank you for the times of worshiping deeply from our heart and soul. Thank you for this moment when we will consider the beauty of your living word. May it shape the life of Jesus in us all. In his name we pray, amen. So I bet this morning when you woke up, you didn't think that you'd be saying the word Ebenezer in your day, did you? But you did. You sang it in this very song. And even though it sounds like a Hebrew sneeze, it really does and deserve our attention. So here we go with Come Thou Fount, Part 2. Robert Robinson really knew his Bible. He knew the story of the struggles of the Israelites. And they struggled mostly with the Philistines. Even before David would slay his Goliath, the Philistines were a giant pain to Israel. And every time you turned around, they were fighting for land or power or control. And they had even stolen the Ark of the Covenant, which was the sign of God's presence with the people of Israel. And it was Israel's most powerful weapon. Now, many years later, the Ark has been recovered by Israel, and Samuel, the prophet, is showing Israel what they must do if they're going to defeat their enemy, the Philistines. So in 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in the middle of the second verse, we pick up the story, and here's how it reads. Then all of the people of Israel turned back to the Lord. So Samuel said to all of the Israelites, if you are returning to the Lord with all of your hearts, then rid yourself of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths and commit yourselves to the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So the Israelites put away their Baals and the Ashtoreths and served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, assemble all of Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you. When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah. When the Philistines heard that Israel had assembled at Mizpah, the rulers of the Philistines came up to attack them. When the Israelites heard of it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. They said to Samuel, do not stop crying out to the Lord our God for us, that he may rescue us from the hand of the Philistines. Then Samuel took a suckling lamb and sacrificed it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on Israel's behalf, and the Lord answered him. While Samuel was sacrificing the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to engage Israel in battle. But that day the Lord thundered with loud thunder against the Philistines and threw them into such a panic that they were routed before the Israelites. The men of Israel rushed out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, slaughtering them along the way to a point below Beth-kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shen. He named it Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. So there it is. Ebenezer means the Lord has helped us. Israel has found itself in very, very deep trouble. They had adopted the gods of their culture and of their day. They replaced God with gods. Before Samuel could pray and intercede on their behalf, there was something the people had to do. They had to repent. Now, you know the word repent means to turn around, but there's also another dimension to it. It's not just simply turning around. It's now going in a new direction, and that's exactly what he's inviting them to do. It meant for them to get rid of their Ashtoreths and the Baals, the statues of the false gods of war and sensuality and everything else, because nothing could take the place of the one true God. Before God could help, they had to quit turning to other sources for help. They had to rely only on God. And you know, friends, I think it's true in our day as well, isn't it? Is it possible that with all our busyness, we have come to rely on the gods of our culture more than we're supposed to? You know, I had to do a huge soul check when I was in Haiti recently and in the days following thereafter. There, people are pretty chill. They aren't in a hurry. They aren't lazy. They just aren't driven like we are driven here. And I watched small children who would sit in a place for upward of an hour just to receive their meal. No one complained. In fact, they sang, and they did it with joy. And so I have to confess to you that I sometimes have allowed the God of instant gratification to rule my life and my approach to living. How about you? I wonder if much of the rudeness that we experience today is driven out of our need to be served, and I want it right now, or our need to be right, or to be the center of attention and focus. And I wonder what would happen if we took a little stock of the gods that plague our lives. Now, friends, in no way is this meant to be a guilt trip, not even close. And there's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Because, see, I don't know the stuff that you're carrying or the stuff that nags at you or pulls at the fabric of your soul. So if it hits close to home, it could be God saying, do you really want that driving your life any longer? And you know what? I don't want instant gratification or anything else but God driving my life. In fact, I was talking to a friend about this message this weekend, and I said, you know, instant gratification is the junk food of the soul, and I really believe that with all my heart. I've had several conversations with people over the years in ministry, and one of their greatest concerns is falling back into temptation or sin. And you know the best way to deal with it is confession. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But it isn't you telling me your secret sins, it's telling God. You know what? He already knows. But he wants to know if you and I know. Because when you and I know, then we're going to be ready to deal with his question. A question that's going to sound something like this. Do you want to keep letting that drive you, or are you ready for me to help you? So in dealing with my need for instant gratification, I had to ask the question, do I live for the moment or in the moment? Think about that. Do I live for the moment or in the moment? See, in my mind, living for the moment means there's little to no planning. I'm just going with the flow and hoping everything comes out okay. It means let's have fun now and take stock of it later. But living in the moment means planning, dreaming, preparing, and then being fully present in that moment to enjoy the time and the people that you are surrounded by or that you care about, or to go deeper in your life with God, the one that you serve and love. So Thursday night, my son and his family came down from Kirksville, and we went to the fair, and we went to the Christian concert. And here's a family selfie of our crew. Now, I would not have missed this moment for anything in all the world. Being present in this moment, I got to see my 9-year-old grandson with hands lifted in praise as For King and Country sang about looking to the hills where our help comes from. And I got to cradle my little guy as he was a little overwhelmed by the volume of the sound, but safe in the arms of his papa. And I think that's what life is all about. Taking the moments to breathe, to enjoy, to rejoice, to praise. And that's why I like the line of Robert's hymn that we sang today. Jesus sought me while a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, read the rest of it with me, interposed his precious blood. See, Jesus is our Ebenezer. The Lord is our helper. Jesus is our helper. He is the God who has come to help us. He is our solid rock in the shifting sands of our culture and our time. Now, here's a picture that if you come through the front door, you pass by it every weekend. It is a picture of our cornerstone laid in 1888 downtown at 4th and Osage. It was one of the first stones laid, and it established the direction of the building. In fact, when we say we're getting things squared away, it's the way the walls were squared up to a cornerstone. But a cornerstone is more than that. It also reminds us of the importance of having a great foundation. So Jesus is declared a cornerstone in Psalm 118. In the 22nd and 23rd verses, it says, The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then read the next verse with me, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The cornerstone of our faith is not merely a declaration of some fact, but it is a trust in the personal God, in the person of Jesus. God who came among us, gave his life for us, interposed his precious blood, is the way Robert Robinson said it. He poured out his life so that you and I could have life and live it to the full now and eternally with him forever. So Jesus is our Ebenezer, and he sends his Spirit as our helper. Since we've been talking about stones, Ebenezers, I want to point out a passage of Scripture from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, where it talks about there's a season for everything under heaven, and in verse 5 it says there's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. And I want us to have a little act of worship today, much like it would be communion day. And I want you to take your two stones, if you have them, put one in your left hand and one in your right hand. And if you didn't get a chance to pick up a stone, there's some in a basket here or some at the door, so everyone can participate. And I want you to have these stones in each hand, and let's say that the one in your left hand represents your own struggles, or your gods, if you will. Maybe this is anger, or lying, or lust, or busyness. Or if you don't have any of those things, maybe that's your thing, perfection. What if we were to say to God today, I don't want this driving my life any longer, and God were to invite us to scatter that stone, to throw it away, if you will. In a few minutes, if you're ready to do that, I've got two black trash cans. If you want to scatter that stone, like I've dropped mine now, if you want to scatter that stone by throwing it in that bucket, it doesn't make a difference how loud the noise is when you throw it. What we're going to do after all of our service, we're going to take it out to the pond and throw it back where they belong, the river rock after a while. You don't have to go out of here carrying this or being driven by this or letting this lead your life any longer. Think about the stone in your right hand. What if you were to imagine your name on this stone? All of the best of who you are, and all of the part of you that's been forgiven, and all of the part of God that is making you more beautiful in his image. And if you were to think of the name of Jesus interposed over that, written on you and in you, for forgiveness and love and hope and joy and peace. All of God for all of who you are. If we were to place those right here on this preaching platform around these other stones or all through this area, as our Ebenezer, Lord, you are our helper, as a determination of saying, God, you lead my life. What if together we were to rise up to be his people in this community to combat racism and ageism and all the other isms that we face as a culture? What if we were to rise up to advocate for children and youth and for the disenfranchised because the Lord is our helper? What if we were to become a church filled with so much hope that every place we looked, we began to see love? The same love that the Lord has for all of the people in all places at all times that he so desperately wants to pour out, and he'll do it through your heart and mine. So as this song is being played, please scatter the stones of our false gods, dump them in the trash can, and then consider laying your life on the Ebenezer stone, the Jesus who is our helper now in all the days of our lives. And don't forget to grab up a little bit of the message of this video. It's so beautiful. It's entitled, See the Love. And when I look out, I do see that. I see the love. I'll be the first and then invite you to come and drop your stones, scattering and gathering. What a beautiful act of worship to let go of the things that hold our souls and tear up the very fabric of who we are, and to hold on to the one who is our helper, our strength, our life, and our joy. And so as you stand, would you receive this benediction? And for those who would remember and are able, please come back at noon. We've got a very beautiful opportunity to stand with God as he unfolds the future and his plans for us. And we will discern that together at noon today. And now may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit move mightily in our lives now and forevermore. Amen. Go in God's grace. Have a great and beautiful week, everyone.